Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Came across this story that Nazi hunter, no, not that one. Okay, let's talk about Mozambique. Let's talk about what is happening on our border. And this morning, the only website actually reporting this is MoneyWeb, of all places. So I think I'm going to start keeping an eye on what news stories. I am looking for a real news site. So let me know where you get your local South African news from. All right, joining me right now to talk about what's happening in Mozambique and for an update is Willem Els. He's a senior training coordinator on terrorism and explosives for the Transnational Threats and International Crimes Program at the Institute of Security Studies. And what is the update on Mozambique? Morning, Willem. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, and you?
Happy 2025. May it be a good year for you and a terrible year for terrorism. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so what is the latest in what is happening in Mozambique? We've been talking about it, obviously, the whole of last week, but is there anything that's different?
Yeah, Mozambique has been very volatile. Unfortunately, things are not going well there, and it is developing. We saw that in the last week there are some speculations. It was only reported that the President Nyusi actually tried to gather the opposition leaders, and he had some discussions with them, but that unfortunately did not include Venancio Mondlane, who is the official opposition according to the latest outcome. But we also saw that SADC for the first time actually responded by means of the president of Tanzania, who is currently the chair of the Troika, the Safety and Security Troika, and she actually just cautioned them and asked them to dialogue and so on. But from up till now, Mozambique has actually been left to South Africa that tried to intervene, where we saw that South Africa, President Ramaphosa sent Dr. Sydney Mufumari and a delegation there to try to establish dialogue. But up till now, they have not been very successful. And things have been going south. You know, the borders are open and closed and open and closed. And it's affecting our exports. It's also affecting the imports from to Maputo. So it is not going well. The economy basically came to a standstill. And things are not very well in Maputo.
So who's currently in power in Mozambique? Is it Frelimo?
Yeah, Frelimo is currently in power. They've been in power now for just close to 50 years.
Yeah.
And they lost a lot of their support. We saw that's one of the reasons and of the drivers for the insurgency in Cabo Delgado is the lack of service delivery and all the other things where we saw that the Frelimo party actually failed the people of Mozambique and Cabo Delgado.
So they're basically the ANC. They are the Mozambican version of ANC.
Yeah, they are basically, I think, you know, they got a bit
liberating
of a head start
party,
to the ANC,
failed the
yeah.
people, corrupt, in power for too long. I can see how the ANC would send people there because they stick together, which is why the ANC is supporting Frelimo, not Renamo. You're welcome to disagree with me, by the way. I don't mind that.
No, that is one of the reasons why South Africa is not. The ideal country to intervene. You know, South Africa was the first country to actually congratulate Frelimo on their victory just after the first announcement, and that actually they lost a lot of legitimacy with the other parties in doing so. But we also see that South Africa, especially the ANC government, they don't have a very hot or a warm relationship with Frelimo. I don't know if you remember the former Minister of Finance of Frelimo, Mr. Chang, was arrested here in South Africa for his share in the hidden debt scandal. And what happened then is that Marofrelimo actually wanted him to be extradited to Mozambique, but the Americans also requested that he be extradited there to be tried. And at the end of the day, the government extradited him to America, where he's currently on trial. And that actually led to sort of a lukewarm relationship with between the two countries, but also South Africa as the leader of the SAMIM, that was the intervention force of SADC that intervened in Cabo Delgado. They were not very welcome by Frelimo, and they withdrew actually prematurely because of what was indicated by SAMIM. They were not very welcome in Mozambique. So all of that actually plays together give us the situation that we have nowadays. Another challenge that we have also with SADC is that the current chair of SADC is President Mnangagwa from Zimbabwe.
I was going to raise and say, can we zoom out and look at other African countries where South Africa should have intervened and hasn't? And, you know, you want to make alliances with people who have the same values as you. And that's very concerning to me when I'm seeing that South Africa, you know, I'm now seeing it through different eyes. You know, what's happening in Mozambique, yeah. South Africa is siding with Frelimo. What's happened in Zimbabwe? Why didn't South Africa take any kind of action to help the people of, you know, we this big liberating democratic country, the jewel of Africa, and we're not intervening with what's happening to Zimbabweans?
Yeah, that's true. You know, SADC lost a lot of legitimacy, especially with President Mnangagwa in the beginning of the challenges they had after the first announcement of the elections, of the outcome, that he actually advised Frelimo to act decisively against the rioters. You know, and we know what is the history of Zimbabwe after their last election and what happened. So he doesn't have a lot of legitimacy. And that also, they came from a point that the opposition parties do not really trust Mnangagwa. So he as a chair of SADC, also he lost all his legitimacy in the eyes of all the people in Mozambique. So that is your challenge, being faced by SADC and also South Africa. Remember, South Africa, as we can say that, you know, South Africa is a powerhouse in the region, is more or less the big brother. So everybody is now looking for South Africa to intervene because of the failures of SADC, and South Africa is also faced with the challenges that you mentioned. So that is one of the reasons why it was maybe encouraging when President Sulu from Tanzania actually came to the table and actually released a statement yesterday. So because there's a lot more legitimacy there than in the other countries.
Willem, just a question. So we've got, if we look at liberating parties, right, it could be in mm-hmm. Africa, it could be around the world, liberating parties who are still in power, who no longer serve the people. We've got the ANC, we've got the Frelimo, we've got ZANU-PF. Who else would be part of that party or be part of that that collection?
Yeah, remember, if you look at your former liberation movements that came to power, and that is all over Africa, after about between 20 and 30 years after they came to power, they are being voted out, or there's a coup d'etat, or there's a lot of challenges with their government, because traditionally they fail to deliver the social goods and the political goods for the party, and then they try to ride on the back of the freedom struggle and their achievements there, because they cannot actually produce the goods like your country wants. And the problem that we face here in South Africa, but also a problem that is faced in Zimbabwe, but in Mozambique as well, is that after that period that I mentioned, you know, the new voters are your young people. The voter block shifts away from your people that participated in the struggle, that's got a lot of sentiments with the struggle. They, for them, it is bread and butter stuff. They want jobs, they want university, they want a good life for themselves and their families, etc., etc. Right. And because these governments cannot produce this that political goods, then they just shift away from them and they start to vote to them. For instance, in Mozambique, General Chupanda is the first. He's accredited as the first person that pulled a trigger against the Portuguese rule, mm-hmm. and he used to be a political hero for that generation. The young people don't even know about him. They don't even care about what he was or what he's doing or what he did,
sure.
because for them they wanted a good life for their people and they want and for their children.
Absolutely. And that is where we leave it. Willem Els, thank you very, very much. Willem is the Senior Training Coordinator on Terrorism and Explosives for the Transnational Threats and International Crimes Program at the Institute for Security Studies.